Sit back and relax. It's time to improve your financial lot in life. Produced at CFIS FM Studios in Prince George, this is your tune-up. And here's your host, Deb Ross.
My guest today is Christine Kinney. I have asked Christine to join me today and share her financial journey. Thank you so much for agreeing to speak with us and share your journey with us.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure.
Can you start off by telling us a little bit about who you are and just details about yourself?
I'm 40 years old and I'm a parent to four children. I live in Prince George. I've been here 4 years. I've lived in northern BC for 10 years altogether. I'm originally from the Lower Mainland, and I've lived also many years in England. I have dual citizenship, but happily settled now in Prince George. I'm a single parent of my four kids, and we have a good life here, and I'm really enjoying it.
So we're going to talk about your financial journey. A few years back, you found yourself in a position that was not exactly comfortable, financially speaking, and you set on a journey to bring yourself to a place of confidence and your definition of success in terms of financial management. And we're going to talk about that endeavor, but let's start at the very beginning. What type of financial upbringing did you have, such as what type of values and what type of financial priorities did your relatives or your parents display before you when you were growing up?
Well, my parents never really liked to disclose too much detail about finances. I never really had much of an understanding of what it's like to pay rent or how much it costs. I didn't really know the value of things, but I did know that money was always tight. My mom stayed home. She was a full-time stay-at-home mom with us, so my dad was the only financial provider, which caused a lot of stress financially, I think. And it always seemed there was never enough. Money was tight. I remember my mom telling us, you know, your dad has to wear the same suit to work every day. There's no money. And I just always kind of grew up a little bit, you know, having, I guess, anxiety about money. Money was always scarce. We didn't really talk about it, but when we did, it was negative. And not really having a good education about it, even at school. I remember vaguely doing some kind of budgeting thing in grade 11, but I didn't really understand, and it didn't relate to real life for me. So I was pretty ignorant when I was launched out into the world at, you know, 18 after high school, and 19 I moved home and went across the world back to England, and kind of fumbled through ever since.
So in terms of your financial practices, how do you feel that your family, your upbringing influenced the way that you manage money as an early adult?
It was sort of feast and famine. So when I had money, you know, payday was always exciting because then we could, you know, I could eat out, get a, you know, Chinese takeaway or something, or, you know, buy that dress that I really wanted. And then it was starvation, you know, leading up to the next payday. Literally, sometimes I would be hungry sometimes. I wouldn't have change for the bus. I mean, I was 19, 20, pretty young. I remember scrounging. I think I even knocked on a neighbor's door once asking, do you have change for the bus? Because I could not budget. I could not plan. I couldn't really think forward into the future. I had no skills, and I didn't, it was terrible.
So I guess I could properly conclude that you didn't feel prepared to enter adulthood, financially speaking.
No.
So when did you move back from Britain?
It was in 2006.
And it wasn't just you who moved back?
No, by that point I was married, okay. And we had two children, one on the way. We needed a bigger home, and real estate in the UK is extremely expensive. It's a very small island, very small. We couldn't really afford anything bigger for our growing family, so we decided to come to Canada. We'd always talked about it, that one day we would, you know,
yes,
we could have a better lifestyle here. We ended up originally in the Lower Mainland because that's where I'm from. But that year, real estate just suddenly jumped. So the year when we were selling our house and going through all this process in the UK to move to Canada, and then when we finally arrived, again, it was out of our reach. And the prices in Langley, Surrey, were comparable to the ones we'd left behind in the UK. And we were renting a basement suite. And my husband at the time was commuting to downtown Vancouver. And I was like, this is not why we moved to Canada. It was, Right. Yeah.
So in your family, this new family then, your family, who managed the money? What was that structure like?
I stayed at home for 8 years. I worked the first couple years that we were married until my first was born. I went back briefly part-time, but then when I became pregnant with our second 2.5 years later, that was it. I never did go back. So my husband was the sole provider again. I was back in the same situation that, you know, I had grown up with.
Yes.
Fully dependent on him. And he had really less skills than I did, which was a really bad situation. There was a lot of arguments about money, a lot of fear about money. I kind of trusted him, and he would just tell me there was no money. So I just, that was it. I really went without all the time. It was kind of trying to provide for the kids, but never having anything for myself,
and yes,
never getting a haircut or even buying shoes that I needed. It was, it was rough.
So what did you do? How did you handle decisions that were being made for you financially? How did you handle your disagreement with that?
I finally just became resigned to it. And I mean, I did all the shopping. I did the grocery shopping. I would go out after the kids were down in bed and, you know, go hunting for the cheapest things I could find. I actually at one point wanted a part-time job, but my husband at the time discouraged it because I think he was concerned that he would then have to sometimes care for the children, which he wasn't willing or prepared to do. It was too much for him. So, I eventually, just became resigned to the fact. I remember one winter taking my kids tobogganing and just putting plastic bags over my runners because I had no boots. He just said, there was no money. There's no money. And I just believed him. Okay, there's no money. I had no control.
So as a counselor, when I hear characteristics that you're describing right now, I have a little pet term for that. It's not very pleasant, but that is a form in my world of financial abuse.
Mm.
And I obviously don't like to throw that term around very often, but I think when a person, and you can attest if this is true or not, but when an individual is in a relationship like that, they are so controlled by money, you really don't realize the impact, and you don't even see the abused side of that. Because you're so involved in surviving,
yes,
and trying to make this person appreciate the efforts that you're going to make things work financially. Now, when you're disconnected from that situation,
mm-hmm.
all kinds of realizations flood our minds. So your relationship broke down.
Yes.
You entered the single parenting world.
Yeah.
What was your very first purchase after that relationship broke down and you were financially independent? And I'm going to put air quotes around independent because that is such an interesting term.
Yes. Yeah. So my first purchase, which was a complete luxury to me, just completely frivolous, was going out to like La Senza and La Vie en Rose, and just the most, I don't know, for me it was high end, you know, whatever it was.
Right.
Beautiful underwear, like bras and panties that just fit. They were nothing special, just stuff that didn't have holes in it, and
okay.
that wasn't a hand me down.
So your very first purchase was undergarments.
Yes.
That we as women need.
Yes, it's a necessity. You, how can you? Yeah, but you know.
I see your cheeks are going a little red as you're telling me and the rest of our listening audience that your first purchase was skivvies.
Yeah.
However, one thing that I will bring some a little bit of calmness to you about this, I've been counseling for a number of years now. every single woman who has left a relationship where finances were part of the dysfunction, their first purchase in 100% of the times was undergarments. There is something about the vulnerability that we feel in relationship with money and with a spouse who is a bit controlling or even overly controlling. There's a vulnerability that we feel pressured as women to not purchase things that we need. And I don't know why, but undergarments seem to be a very clear representation of that scenario. So here you are, you're financially on your own, responsible for yourself and your children and the circus that that can sometimes be. How would you express how you felt at that point, the day in, the day out, about the state of your financial situation at that time?
Well, things definitely got worse before they got better. At first, I had no job and I was on income assistance and I was actually a client of the food bank. So there was never any money. I had no credit history because everything had always been under his name.
Even though you had a house in the UK.
Yes.
And then you were prepared to purchase a house in the Lower Mainland if the prices had been in your
yes.
area.
That would have been in his name. We eventually, we did purchase a house, but it was all under his name.
Yes.
So it was difficult for me to get a credit card. Finally, someone at a bank I went to, I think maybe felt sorry for me. Because I was going around, when I finally did get a job, my first job back in the workforce after 8 years was in an office, and it was wonderful. It was wonderful to be in control of my own money and making the decisions. And even though I've never earned as much as my former husband earned, I've always had more. I've felt rich. I've not really gone without. My kids haven't gone without because I've been able to make the decisions, and I've did better decisions than, you know, when we were together. Still wasn't great. I still was fumbling all the time.
But they were your decisions.
Yes. And I loved that. I got to control that. No, this money is going so that the kids can have soccer, so that my daughters can have ballet. You know, it's not so that their dad can go and get some high-end computer or something, right?
So my guest today is Christine Kinney. She is sharing with us some intimate details of her financial journey. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.